It was back in January or February when those of us who worked together to provide leadership for our worship services made the decision that come the Sundays after Easter and before Pentecost, that we wouldn't pick a particular theme or topic for us to experience, for me to preach on, and to find the scriptures that coordinate with that topic. We decided that what we would do is that we would spend the time reading the scriptures that are assigned for those Sundays, beginning with the Sunday after Easter with the story of the disciples, particularly Thomas, and the encounter with Jesus, and working through the scriptures that are part of what's called the common lectionary. I thought that would be a good way to worship during these Sundays, until I sat down and looked at this Sunday and realized that we were going to have to talk about sheep today. And that I don't know very much about sheep, which put some pressure on me either to study up on the sheep or to fake it as best I can. I think I'm going to be somewhere in between. But it's a topic that we all know, and yet one that is no longer connected to our daily living. I mean, especially for me, I have literally spent my entire life living in big cities, in urban environments. And growing up, my home that I grew up in was three blocks from the massive U.S. Steelworks, and just down the road from the Bethlehem Steel Company. And in the countryside surrounding the town that I grew up in, there at the northern terminus of Appalachia, were not sheep farms, but coal mines. I started out not knowing much about shepherds and sheep. And I thought this week that perhaps that may also be true of you. Even those of us who have lived here for a long time in the Santa Clara Valley, we're more used to fruit trees and canneries than we are sheep. Today, it's high-tech industry everywhere. Not too many sheep. But that's where Jesus goes this week. So let's follow him and see what it might where it might lead us. I went to a website, went to the web, and I Googled sheep. There's a couple of million sites that you can get, but the one that I pulled up. I know there's at least one person here in church today who's now saying, "So that's what he does with his time." And here's the phrase, here's the sentence that started out this site about sheep. It said, "Sheep are among the simplest of livestock." And I think simplest was a euphemism for dumb. Because what it went on to say is that of all of our livestock, sheep are among the most vulnerable. They are vulnerable to predators, like wolves. They're not very fast. They're not very attuned to their surroundings. And thus, predators can get close and take down sheep much more easily than with some other forms of livestock. Said the same is true about people sneaking up on them. They tend not to pay too much attention and thus thieves can make off with them. And then it went on to say, but they are also, in some real sense, a danger to themselves. Because that is that, again, they pay little or no attention to their surroundings. And they, what this site said, is they tend to nibble themselves lost. They eat over here, and then go a little further and eat some more, and then go a little further and eat some more, down over the cliff and eat some more, and pretty soon they look around and ask, where did everybody go? They tend to get lost. And the final point in this article said that sheep, therefore, are dependent on shepherds for safety. Now, compare that with you and me, us human beings. We are creation's most complex thinkers. We understand and process huge amounts of facts and information. We make complicated decisions every day. We're not particularly vulnerable to predators, thieves, or ourselves. And accordingly, we don't like to be compared to sheep. And given our contemporary world, where the image is of a self-made, self-controlled, and self-directed individual, we definitely aren't particularly interested in having a shepherd. But yet the Bible tells us that that's what we need. It uses this farm imagery to teach us about our relationship with God, and particularly with Jesus. The choir contributed this morning by singing some of the words of the 23rd Psalm. This is the best known example of the Bible's teaching. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, and tells us all the good things that the Lord will do for us. And here in John 10, Jesus is teaching his disciples and some of his other followers, and he again picks up on this imagery, but in much more sharply worded terms, he says, I am that good shepherd, and I will take care of you. And he goes on at length. You heard the words. He says, I will watch over you. But not only that, I will be willing to lay down my life for you if that's what it takes to keep you safe. And he says, and I'll do that of my own free will. Nobody will force me to do it. Nobody will take my life from me. I will do it for you. You know, when I was younger and I was reading these scriptures, with my lack of knowledge about sheep, I always felt it was a little disheartening to be described as a sheep, you know, just as one of a bunch that seemed to move around together. And I guess in the back of my head, I really did already understand that sheep were not, the brightest of livestock. As an adult, though, when I read this again, I find it somewhat difficult to be described in those dependent terms. When I was in seminary, I had a friend named Wayne Thomas. Wayne was a brilliant student. He didn't go on to fulfill his ministry. He ended going back to New England and running the family business for his father. But Wayne was very sharp. And at one point in our relationship, he looked at me and he said, Jim, he said, you're awfully self-sufficient, aren't you? He said, in fact, you may be the most self-sufficient human being I've ever met. I mistook what he was saying and took it as a compliment. And I was proud of myself until years later I discovered that what he was describing was one of my difficulties and not one of my strengths. I had an aversion for much of my early life to having anything like a shepherd in my life. But as the years have gone on, I have discovered that I do need a shepherd in my life. Not to control me, but to work with me in making my life the best that it can be. You know, and I think the truth is that we may not be like sheep, but we often act like it. You know, humans have a tendency, in our spiritual lives I'm talking about now, is we have a tendency not to seek out the depths of faith, but rather to enjoy the flavor of the day. I was in Barnes & Noble the other day, and I went to the religion section, as I occasionally do, and the most books that were on the shelves were some by Joel Osteen. Maybe you've seen him on TV. And the other shelf was full of books by T.D. Jakes, the pastor of the Church of the Potter in Dallas. And I realized that both of those pastors preach what could be called a prosperity gospel. The core of their preaching is, if you follow Christ, abundance, spiritual and material, will follow your commitment. That is not what the gospel says, and yet there are thousands, millions, who are connected to Osteen, Jakes, and others who follow that partial witness of the gospel, not the holistic gospel that we struggle to proclaim and live. There's some of us who get confused about what is true leadership, and we get connected to exciting shows. I've been watching several versions of this play out, particularly with one pastor in Atlanta. He has a 25,000 member congregation, and now, of course, he has gotten into the same kind of difficulties that many of our politicians get into, and he is being removed from pastoring that church and having to pay the price for his misbehavior with many people in his congregation. Sometimes we allow ourselves to be preyed upon when we're spiritually vulnerable, and there's people out there who are willing to prey on us. And sometimes we're like the sheep who nibble their way lost. We do the same thing. We nibble around the edges of the faith. We drift away until we find ourselves wondering, where did everybody go? It's an issue of wants versus needs. I don't think anybody wants a shepherd, but I've come to believe that everybody needs a shepherd, especially the one who cares and who sacrifices for us. To be a follower of Christ means that we must accept that need, and that may be the hardest part in opening our hearts up to Christ. To fully experience Christ, we must allow Christ to be the shepherd of our lives. Well, what does that mean? Let me offer you just three very quick thoughts about that. I think to invite Christ into your life to be the shepherd of your life, it takes an intentional act, intentional actions, actually. The first is, and I will re-quote Bishop Will Willimon, who I like quoting, but I mentioned this to you in a sermon a while ago. He was asked within the last year or so, what did it mean to follow Christ, to have Christ in your heart, to have Christ as the shepherd of your life. And he says, what it means for me is that I'm willing to get in line and walk in Jesus' footsteps and stumble along as best I can, trusting in his guidance. I think that's the first step in having Christ as a shepherd. It means deciding to develop a deeper prayer life. During Lent, the worship design team came up with 5 different examples of prayer, and they led us through them in those Sundays. It means taking one of those, perhaps, and using it as a daily routine in your life. It means coming to a Bible study and working to know the biblical truth. It means joining an accountability group, with a small group of friends here in the church, and being held accountable for how you're trying to grow in Christ. And then it means some very specific actions. Greg, this is what I meant about you preached my sermon up here today. When one of the kids came, you know, responded to you and said, be kind to someone. When I was pastoring at one of my churches in San Diego, I had a young man in the congregation, and he was telling me once about how much he loved his wife, and I just blurted out to him, I says, well, how do you show her that? And he had an answer for me. He said, each day I try to do one thing that will help her to love me more than she did yesterday. And he says, I try to show her how much I love her. And I thought, what a great description for all of us. Wouldn't it be wonderful if each day we set a goal for ourselves of making one person's life just slightly better than it was the day before? And then it also means, I think, to have Christ as your shepherd, to increase your trust level, and to be open to some of the wild and crazy ideas that Jesus teaches us about in the Bible. For us to be willing to risk being Christians, to serving other people, to proclaiming Christ in our daily lives and in critical situations as best we can. Who wants a shepherd? Probably none of us. But we all need a shepherd. And Christ is that shepherd who is trustworthy of our following. Will you pray with me? Jesus, we're here this morning to, and you know that you're followers. Help us to be better followers. Help us to trust your leadership, your shepherding spirit in our lives. Amen.